Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Hi Rita, Happy New Year.
Woo! Kia ora, Happy New Year.
How's your tan?
Probably like everyone else's. Like I got a little hint of sunshine just on Christmas Day and then pretty much rained.
Yeah. The last couple of weeks really kind of put a handbrake on getting a tan, didn't it?
Did you get some sun today?
No, I was working, and then the washing situation is pretty grim too, because it's sort of like, I'm going to save up, you know, it's raining, so we're going to have to wait till the, and then it's like 7 loads of washing, got to do them in one day, got to get them dry, it's just, and then like, I had mine all drying today, and then I went out to pick up my son from daycare, and it pissed me out. I was like, cool, thanks, weather gone.
You live in the White Oaks, don't you? You get that real misty, drizzly sort of weather, don't you, out there out the west?
That New Year's week that it rained and it was super muggy and it was so bizarre out here. It was sort of like, I felt like I was living in a different country. Like it was all like weird, misty. Yeah, like just, and muggy and yeah, it was really bizarre actually.
Now, Rita, what's on the menu for our first edition of Sustaining Alive for 2023? Are we talking RMA?
Yeah, look, I'm sorry that this can be quite a dry subject because you start using the word legislation and Resource Management Act and honestly people start falling asleep.
That's no problem. You're going to make it exciting and interesting.
I know, I'll try my best. So the RMA, I think most people will know that it's been a topic of a lot of controversy since it came into force in 1990, where basically, you know, everyone is in agreement, I think, that it slows down progress too much.
Right.
And, I mean, that's sort of it in a nutshell. And when you look at some of the wording, it's almost surprising that anything could be done in some respects. Like the thing that I read, line that I read was that the role of the RMA was to protect the environment by restricting development that has a negative effect on the environment.
Right.
Now, all development has a negative effect on the environment. So I think perhaps, you know, there's some argument that some things need to be tidied up. And then from an environmentalist point of view, it was pretty wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Like, what is a negative effect on the environment? And there's a term in there where they say, you know, you need to have a healthy ecosystem. Now, there's lots of people that can say that there's a healthy ecosystem for bad bacteria, you know?
Yeah,
like,
there's no defined boundaries as to where the buck should stop. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, yeah, not really. So when it came into force in like 1990, I think from memory it pulled together like over 80 different pieces of legislation into one document. Then they tried to do this overarching like strategy, I guess, where it was like to protect the environment by restricting negative, like bad development, and to protect ecosystems or whatever. And then from there they sort of filtered down like, oh, you know, what does that mean for freshwater management, and then they'll say, you know, well, freshwater should, you know, all the bodies of freshwater should be healthy ecosystems, and then it was up to the like each council to define how they were going to measure and monitor that, and then protect it, I guess, and that's where it sort of falls apart, because then you have, you know, 30 odd, I think it is, you know, different councils doing different things, and you go to somewhere like Taranaki where you've got a council that's pretty loaded with farmers, because I mean a lot of people down there are farmers, so no surprise. But then on top of that, you know, because they're farmers, they will probably they have stopped a lot of the protections around, and they've redefined what it means to be a healthy river, you know.
Yeah.
And then also a lot of these small towns also just don't have money to enact some of the guidelines that they've put in place or monitor them properly. So it's a bit of a mess. And I guess, you know, from an environmental point of view, you know, I get a little bit frustrated because out of all these plans, what kind of comes down is that you can either do something that is permitted under your district council plan, or you can do something that's permitted with notice, which means I'm going to build this house, I'm allowed to do it, it's permitted, but I do have to tell my neighbour. And then there's something called controlled discretionary, and that is where all of these things fall when you do a resource consent. It's controlled discretionary, and then there's things that are prohibited, so like building a house in the middle of a regional park or whatever. So it's the controlled discretionary stuff that's an issue. And a lot of the complaints that I read from developers, it's because they're trying to look outside of what they're allowed to do. So, for example, you know, you want to build two houses on a piece of land that you knew you could only build one house on.
Yeah.
So you have to go for resource consent. Sorry, my child just ran into the room. He thinks it's hilarious because he knows I'm on the phone. Yeah, so a lot of these problems, and then they complain that it's taken too long for them to go through the correct process to be able to build these two houses on. Now, as an environmentalist, I say, well, you should never have bought, you know, as a developer, you should never have bought a section that only needed one house on it. That's, you know, it's sort of crying about something that was already sort of in place and pretty laid out for you. Hang on one second.
I think we just got some kids in the background there. Oh, Reda, are you there?
Sorry, I'm just trying to wrangle a six-year-old like me out, which is great, absolutely great news. Okay, he's leaving now. So that's kind of where it all falls down, basically. And the unitary plan came in. This is a really good example of how they tried to redefine things, and they said, well, let's make it easier for people. And they said, okay, on all land that's around the train stations, we can make it, the new law that's coming in, we'll make it that you can build up to three stories, and that's a permitted activity. So you don't need to go through the resource consent. So we were, I guess, trying to make the Resource Management Act work with literally thousands of amendments. So there was over 1,000 amendments on the Resource Management Act and over 40 years of, I guess, case history where somebody's gone and been able to do something. So it's a big piece of legislation to scrap, like a huge piece.
Yeah, like it's...
and probably something that we should all know about and be aware of, because I think it is quite possibly the most important piece of legislation, that's out there. So we are getting a say on it, which is great news. It's a pretty heavy read, though. It's,
how many pages do we know?
800-odd pages, and it's still being written.
Are there any cliff notes on this that we know what's up, so we can get a brief summary of what's up for possibly being amended, or how you could just unpack it quickly?
Yeah, so there is. So what they've kind of done is they've split it into three pieces of legislation. One is the Climate Adaptation Bill, which won't come into force for a little while. So that one's kind of parked, I guess, at the moment. But that looks at, like, how we're going to deal with, like, managed retreat from coastlines, and who's going to pay for it and who's responsible for it and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The two that are in front of us that will come into play and into act this year before the election is the Natural and Built Environmental Bill and the Spatial Planning Bill. So what that looks at is new building, how it takes place, and how that relates to that and the protection of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that we're saying, you know, everyone should get involved and make a submission on. So those two, I guess everything is sort of the same in that they've taken out, you know, the building and the consenting process, and they've kind of kept it the same, to be honest. Like, you know, the Environment Court's still there, the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment's still there, the long-term planning's still there. It's just that what they're going to do, and those codes where it's permitted and permitted with notice and you can prohibited, those are still there. What they're going to do is take away the planning role away from councils and create 15 regional committees, and they're going to then build those long-term plans so that for the areas, which says, you know, where's going to be intensified, you know, how much is it going to be intensified, and then they're going to enact them. So that cuts it, I think it was almost in half, like from 30 councils to 15 regional kind of plan centres. And on top of that, they will then also have a whole lot of, like, off-the-shelf options. So, for example, if you are building near a stream, at the moment that might be a controlled discretionary activity, and one of the things you have to do is show how you're going to stop sediment getting into the stream while you're building, because quite often you'll clear the land, and if it rains, that could be a problem for the river. Normally you pay someone $10,000 to write up a plan of what's going to happen, and then builders will hopefully implement that plan while they're building. So what they're saying now is that they will create a whole lot of off-the-shelf options. So you need to do silt. Like, yes, you can do the silting, but you need to do it with silt sediment control, you can take, we would recommend plan B for this, and or plan C or whatever, and there's a kind of already written out plan for you. So I think it will be a bit easier for your, you know, your Joe blog that's trying to get something through council.
Yeah, because it definitely sounds like things are at least a little bit more clearly defined in what you can and can't do, right?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, I think yes, well, I think where it's going to fall over is in the environmental stuff, because it does sound pretty wishy-washy still.
Oh,
so,
again.
yeah. So one of the things they do is, so you're building that house near that river, and they go, okay, even with your sediment control, you need to prove that the sediment that gets in the river is only going to have a minor impact. And so your person you've got to write your thing says, yes, there's only going to be a tiny bit of sediment in the river, it's no biggie. But what the, and so the council goes, that's fine, go ahead. But what the, if you can show a minor environmental impact, it's fine. The problem is that if 50 other people up the road from you are doing it as well, then it's no longer a minor impact. But under the RMA, that's not considered at the moment. Mm. Now what they're going to do is they're going to put some hard guidelines around what that river can handle. So we know that river can handle, and they say they're going to be scientifically, like they're going to put metrics around this based on science, and then they're going to monitor them. So they're going to say that river can have X amount of sediment, and if you're the first person to apply, then you're good, but if you're the third person, you're probably out of luck. So there is some nice, like you say, hard, defined, clear boundaries here. What I worry about is that it looks like instead of this overarching, we need to make, you know, we need to protect New Zealand environment, it looks like what they're doing is now they're doing carve-outs. So they're saying this area is screwed, we have no need to protect it anymore, we're just going to build. We will carve out this stream and this stream, and we're going to make them swimmable, and that one only needs to be wadeable. So all of a sudden you've got these different kind of levels of environmental protection, and that's an interesting one, because what is important for one person, you know, for, I mean, I'm using a river, but a tree or an area, a stand of trees could be really important. And the council just decide that. Well, it's not even the council at this point. It's this planning committee will decide that on paper it doesn't look that important, so let's just scrap it. So I think what we're going to end up with is a whole new set of problems.
But it certainly sounds like that. But I mean, because this sounds like such a big discussion, I wouldn't mind if we came back with a part two, probably. Because this thing sounds huge.
Yeah, it is. And the submissions aren't due till the 5th of February. And you've got someone like the Tree Council who have got some really great examples of why this could be problematic. Because I think somewhere like Auckland actually does a pretty good job of protecting our environment. Pretty good job, bar money. We don't have a lot of money to protect, say, like the Waitakere, a bit of a shambles. But it's much better than other smaller towns where they just don't have any, like if someone's, you know, dumping a whole lot of crap in a river, like they literally have no one to go out and stop that. Mm. Whereas in Auckland, you wouldn't really get away with that. So Auckland's pretty good, but I think this will be an improvement for the rest of the country. I don't know if it's going to do too much to Auckland. I think what we'll see is that there's these little pockets that are protected, and then the rest of it's just open slather, which is really, you know, can be a bit harsh. I mean, if you're in an area where you've got a little river you visit, that's important to you, but someone, you know, in Wellington decides that river's not important is a bit of a worry.
All right, Rita. Well, we might take another look at this because it's obviously a massive topic. Thank you. Thank you very much for your chat this evening. If people in the meantime want to check out where this is all happening or they can make submissions, where do they go?
Yeah, parliament.nz and search natural and built environments. And that will pop up. Otherwise, the Tree Council's a great place. Forest and Bird have got some stuff on it. So any environmental NGO has got an opinion on it. So you can check those out. But yeah, let's get someone back next week who can talk to something specifically, and we'll go from there. I'd love to know if anyone actually fell asleep during that conversation too.
All right, Rita.
We did our best.
Thanks. We'll see you next week. Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.